And I want to speak a little more about the being led by the Spirit of God. You know, so often we have so many choices to make in life. We have all these things that we got to think about. And what you spend most of your time with is how you're going to end up living your life. If you spend most of your time engrossed in natural things, that's where you're going to be. That's where your head's going to be. That's where your thinking's going to be, your soul's going to be, your flesh. But we need to do what? Spend more time with Him. We need to spend more time thinking about spiritual things. You know, Reverend Jim was sharing something I thought was very interesting. He said, you know, this whole world is designed to be competitive. And I thought, interesting. He said, this whole world system is designed to be competitive. I'm going to get, you know, I'm going to beat you with this. And he was kidding, but he was talking about how he plays golf and he's very competitive. He played football. He's competitive. And he said, but that's carnal. That's fleshly. And I thought, he's right. And he said, can't we just play and enjoy? Play, he said, I like to play golf. He said, can't I just play golf from my spirit and just enjoy playing without being competitive and fleshly? And I thought, he's right. I said, everything we do, you think about it, you know, the things we do is carnal minded. And it's not spiritually minded. Because if I'm trying to beat you, how is that walking in love to somebody? Right? I'm going to beat you on this game. So I just thought it was good. But the Holy Ghost was sent. Jesus spoke in John 14. And this was what? This was before he went to the cross. John 14, 16, 17, and 18. In the King James, he said, and I will pray the Father, or you pray to the Father, and he shall what? Give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him. You know him. A lot of people may say, well, I don't know him. That's what Leanne shared so often. When she was 18, she said she was just a little, you know, she didn't use the word snotty, but, you know, she just said I was just a little fresh. You know, I was a Christian, but I was just, you know, that way, mouthy. And she said, you know, Brother Hagin be teaching. He'd say, well, you know, I hear the Holy Ghost. He's speaking to me. She said, I don't hear him. He's not talking to me. And she just get kind of fresh, you know. And she said she went home and, you know, Brother Hagin was teaching on, you know, knowing the Holy Ghost, hearing him. I hear him. He's here. He's speaking to me. She said, I don't hear him. And then she would talk about how Brother Hagin would be standing teaching. He'd say, I see the glory. I see the glory. It's coming in, the glory. And she said, I don't see it. And she's looking around, and so she was just fresh with God, you know. And she went home, and she said, I don't hear God. What is all this? And the Holy Ghost said, are you calling me a liar? She said, no, I'm not calling you a liar. So now she heard the Holy Ghost. And he said to her, are you calling me a liar? Because my word says you know me. You do know me. But you're talking like you don't, but you do, because I live in you. If you're born again, you do know him. And we need to talk like that. So it says that what? You know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall what? Be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So Jesus was their comforter, what, when he was on the earth? But now he's saying, when I go back to my Father, I'm going to send you another comforter, another comforter. That means he's going to do the same thing I did while I was on the earth. He's going to lead you and guide you into all truth. See? So we know him, and we need to talk like that. We need to say, I know him. I hear him. How do we know? We do by faith. We talk faith. We walk by faith and not by sight, not by our feelings and our senses. So we need to talk that I hear him. I know him. Oh, yeah. Even when you say, well, I'm not hearing him clearly. Well, you need to talk like that. You need to say, I do hear the Holy Spirit clearly, because that's faith speaking. That's faith speaking. Hallelujah. So he sent the Holy Spirit, and he did, and Romans chapter 8 and verse 4 says that as many as are what? Led by the Spirit of God, they're what? They're the sons of God. Verse 15, we've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have what? Received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Isn't it interesting? You know, sometimes we just read over things in the Bible. When it says the spirit of adoption, if you look at that word adoption, it signifies the place and condition, or it says in another word, just the dictionary, it says the act or process of giving official acceptance or approval. So you've been given official acceptance by who? The Holy Ghost. Whereby we what? Cry, Abba, Father. You're my Father. But who placed that witness in your spirit that you've been accepted? The Holy Spirit did. He's the one that has taken up residence. He's our comforter. And it says here, but you have received the spirit of adoption. So the Spirit of God has bore witness in our hearts that we're approved. We're approved of God. And we can say, Father, you're my Father. Hallelujah. And the Spirit, verse 16, the Spirit, we say himself, beareth witness with our spirit that what? We are the children of God. So the witness, and we've been talking about this, the witness of the Holy Spirit is not a voice. It's a perception, you could say. It's a sense, or you could say it's an impression. You might say, you know, sometimes people say, I just have this impression I should do this. Well, when you say, it just seems like I have this impression, where is that coming from? That's what we have to begin to become more sensitive to, or realize that the real you is the one, your spirit is. As some translations say, it's the Holy Spirit who does what? Bears witness or co-witnesses with our spirits. So the Holy Spirit lives inside of my spirit, and we are one. So he bears witness with what? My spirit, that I'm a child of God. And so a lot of times people will say, well, I heard something in my heart when I was quiet, and it sounded like me. Well, that's because it was your spirit. But the Holy Spirit will speak to your spirit, and you'll hear what the Holy Spirit says, and it'll sound like you. It'll sound like you. And that's where we have to become more sensitive to not only the voice of God, which can be your spirit speaking, him speaking to your spirit, or the inward witness, a sense. I just have a sense I should do this. And we want to talk a little bit about that, How do I recognize that? How do I recognize that? It's by yielding. By yielding, when you get an impression to do something, or you have a sense that, how many in here have had a sense to do something, you ignored it, and afterwards you went, I should have done that. Everyone in here, everyone, well, I've done it. We've all done it. I just had this impression to call somebody, and you go, I should have called them. You find out later. Well, that's your spirit being witnessed to by the Holy Spirit. And God is trying to use you to help somebody or to do something, right? So often, you know, I tell this story that years ago, I'm talking years ago, I didn't really, as a habit, invest in stock. I didn't do that. I don't know, it just wasn't, you know how you say it wasn't my thing? I just didn't take, I had money, but I just didn't invest. At that time, I didn't read the Wall Street Journal. I mean, that just wasn't my thing. And I remember I had a thought, this is what it came. A thought came, buy Apple stock. So that was foreign to me. Because I didn't invest in stock. I didn't yield to those things, and I didn't do that. So when the thought came, I went, I knew it was, I guess I'll say it this way in hindsight, I knew it was the Holy Ghost, but I ignored it. And I dragged my feet, and I didn't take, I had money, and I didn't take it and buy Apple stock. He was trying to get money to bless me. See what I'm talking about? God was trying to get something to me to bless me through that way, and I ignored it. Now, at that time, that stock was $40 a share. Oh, Jesus. I hang my head thinking about it now. He was trying to get a lot of money to me. Because I had a good chunk I could have put in that stock. And I ignored it. And I watched that stock go from 40 to 50 to 60 to 70 to over 100. And I'm sitting there watching it. And I went, I want to go, boom, kick myself right in the rear. I'm thinking, you fool, you missed it. And that's how we learn. You know, we ignore thoughts that come, we ignore promptings, and we miss things. We miss out on receiving the blessings of God because we're ignoring the leadings of the Holy Ghost and the promptings. I mean, it can be, I'm just using that as an example. It can be a lot of things. You know, I've walked through a number of things. So, it's those promptings, those witnesses that we get that lead us into the goodness of God. You know, we talk about, oh, the goodness of God has been, you know, led me all my life. Yeah, but the goodness of God comes about by being led by Him. And He'll lead you out of mess into goodness. But you got to yield to Him. And you have to recognize it's Him. And the more you do that, you know, how do you ride a bicycle? You know, you get on it, you pedal, you fall off. You know, you yield. You may miss it a few times. You may miss it a whole lot of times, but don't quit riding the bicycle. Keep yielding. Keep listening. And it's what we were taught all week this week. All week. Spend time with God, pray in the Holy Ghost, and you'll become more sensitive to Him and what? His leadings and His promptings. You'll go, that was Him. That was the Holy Ghost. Okay, Lord, what do we want me to do? Keep going this way and keep following those promptings. You'll walk right into the blessings of God. Amen. So he doesn't lead us how? He doesn't lead us through our head, our mind. He leads us by our spirit, that inner witness, that inner knowing, right? And that's what it is. It's a knowing. You know how many in here have gone through something, whether it's a marriage, whether it's a job, whether it's a friendship, it could be anything, and you had a knowing that you should do this. Anybody ever have that? Oh, we all have. Like, I know I'm supposed to do this. Well, that knowing was what? Was it in your head? No, it was an enlightenment. You knew. You just knew. You're supposed to do this. That's how that knowing comes, by the Holy Ghost. He enlightens your mind. He just enlightens you, and you go, I know I'm supposed to do this. I know it. Well, that wasn't a thought. You just know. You're enlightened, right? So that's the wonderful thing about walking with him and spending time. It's an assurance, you know. In other words, that's here, and let me read this. These are a couple translations. We're reading Romans 8:16. This is the Weymouth translation. It says, the Spirit himself bears witness along with our own spirits to the fact that we are children of God. And then this is another, the Knox translation. It says, the Spirit himself thus assures our spirit. So when your spirit becomes assured of something, that's by the Holy Ghost. That's by the Holy Spirit. Amen. So this is part of being led by the Holy Spirit. How do we identify the witness of the Spirit? So you have to, check inside your heart. So one of the things that I'm going to kind of land on today is following peace, following the peace that's in your heart. You know, a lot of times when we have to make decisions in life, how many have had, you know, just in the natural, even without the scriptures, even without the word of God to support today what we're talking about, how many have made decisions about in their heart, they've had peace about making a decision, or they were ready to make a decision. We've all been here. We've been ready to make a decision and go down this path, but you go, something doesn't feel right. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but this just doesn't feel right. Now, you didn't have the scripture. You didn't have the word of God. You just had this inner knowing, didn't you? You just said, I just can't do this. It don't feel right. Well, that's the Holy Ghost. He's what? He's in you, bearing witness with your spirit. Hold up. Don't do it. And how many of us have marched on, done it anyways? Oh, yeah. We all have. And then afterwards you go, oh, that was dumb. But all the while you're doing it, you got this, you got a witness that says, I shouldn't do that. It gets quiet, right? How many went for that second plate of food and all the while you ate the first plate, and when you go to get the second plate, it's like, you shouldn't eat that. And you go, yeah, but I want it. I'm eating it. And then later you go, I shouldn't have had that. Yeah, we all done that. But we make it plain for us. We all understand. We've done things where we've had an inner knowing, an inner witness to hold up. Don't do it. Or we've had a witness that this is good. Let me go. We're going to do this. It feels right. You know, we use the word feels right. What does that mean? It's my inner man. It feels right. It seems right. You know, there's a scripture. Let's just take a quick look here. Luke chapter 1 and verse 3. use this term, the King James uses it. Luke chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first." See, isn't this interesting? He's using a term, "it seemed good," in conjunction or in relationship. What did he say? Having had perfect understanding of all things. So he's not making this decision based on the understanding, is he? He's making it based on, it just seems good to do this. Not based on his understanding. And that's where we need to do. We need to get out of our heads and follow the inner witness. I like what Annie Durant says. We need to be getting better at being a spirit. Because that's really what we are. Acts 15, verse 22. It's this inner witness, bearing witness with our spirit. Again, this is the early church. So now this is after Jesus has been crucified, resurrected, and now we have the early church. Acts 15, what does it say in verse 22? It says, "Then it pleased the apostles and ancients." What does that mean? It seemed good. It pleased the apostles and the ancients, with the whole church, to choose men of their own company. Look at verse 25. It says, "It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul." And verse 28, what does it say? "And it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us." So that's that inner witness. That's that inner knowing. It seems good to do this. And that's how, this is the part that we need to get better at. Then when we have to make a choice, this is what I'm disciplining myself. I've been doing this for a while, but it's like, you know how you learn in degrees, right? You're like, okay, I'm going to get better at this. I'm going to do better. I'm purposing. You know, it's like people say, "I'm going to lose weight." Well, I'm going to do some things better spiritually where I don't miss it. You know, we can get to the place where we don't miss it at all. You know how that had a little emoji on your phone? 100. So I'm going to hit 100 in my decisions. I ain't missing it. That means nothing. Zero. Well, how do you do that? That means when you have to go make a decision, you stop right there and you begin to look on the inside. You stop. When I have to make a choice, when I have to do something, I mean as simple as getting in your car and going getting some groceries or something. You just look on the inside and you go, "Does it seem good?" Yep, keep going. I'm going to keep moving. And the Holy Ghost may stop you. He may say, "Oh, no, no." But you got to move. You got to do something. You can't steer a parked car. You got to make a choice. You're going to make a choice. But when you're making the choice, be aware who's inside. Think, "I'm going to look on the inside. Do I have peace? If I have peace, I'm keep moving. But if I got something that doesn't feel right, if my spirit is not settled, I'm going to stop. I'm going to hold up. I'm not making a choice right now. I'm saying, Lord, I'm acknowledging you. I'm looking to you for direction. Show me." That's how we get better at this. That's how we get better at following him. It's acknowledging him. It's looking to him. He's my helper. He's not the doer. He's just helping me make the choices. He's trying to help us, right? And we can get to the place where we don't miss it. And that, I mean, that's comforting, man, because the world, man, they're hitting it hard and frustrated because they're making bad choices, right? We can know 100% every time. Yeah. So follow after peace. This is what I'm sharing. And then, of course, in Ephesians Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 30, it says, "Grieve not the Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption." And these are some other translations. It says here, this is God's word translation. It says, "Don't give God's Holy Spirit any reason to be upset with you." You know, he can get upset with us just by not listening. He's trying to, it's like, "Hello, anybody home? Are you listening to me?" You know, and the Holy Ghost is a gentleman. You keep ignoring him, and he'll just wait for you. He's not going to make you do something. So we want to be able to follow after peace. And now, this is Romans chapter 8 and verse 5. This is the Passion Translation. They have that. They can put it up. This is Romans chapter 8, verse 5 and 6. It says, "Those who are motivated by the flesh only pursue what benefits themselves." You see, remember we were talking earlier about competitiveness? Isn't that right? That's that right there. When I'm competitive, I'm only thinking about myself. I'm going to beat you, right? So that's carnal. And that's what that's really saying. Those who are motivated by the flesh only pursue what benefits them. I'm going to win, right? But those who live by the impulses, see what we're talking about? These impulses. It's not a voice. It's an impulse. It's a knowing. It's a consciousness of an inner witness. The impulses of the Holy Spirit are motivated to pursue spiritual realities. For the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset controlled by the Spirit finds life and peace. Now, I may not be walking in peace, but I will find life and peace if I pursue Him and yield to His impulses. I may be walking through a season in my life that's, man, upside down, but I don't have to be controlled by it or motivated by it. I can walk in peace with turmoil going on around me because I'm led by Him, and I'm not going to be swayed by all that other stuff. I'm going to be swayed by Him, by His impulses. And He'll walk me through. Think about Jesus' ministry. Man, every step of the way, they were trying to kill Him. That what it say? In Nazareth, they tried to throw Him over the bow, and He walked right through the midst of them. So He could have said, "Oh my God, what am I going to do now?" He walked right through the midst of them. They couldn't touch Him. And so the same thing. We can walk through life, and everybody's trying to get a piece of us, right? For whatever reason, and we can walk through life and be led by Him and just walk through it and not even be affected by it. But we have to what? Not yield to the flesh. Amen. It takes some work. Colossians 3, I want to read, spend a few minutes here. Colossians 3, this is in the King James. Colossians 3, starting in verse 12. We're going to look at 12 through 16. And this is in the King James. Then we're going to look at a couple of other translations. And then the Weymouth we'll look at. And I think they have that translation and the Passion. But starting in verse 12, the King James, Colossians 3, it says, "Put on, therefore." So that means we have to do something. Put on. Right? "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity," or love, "which is the bond of perfectness." Verse 15. "And let" what? the peace of God do what? Rule in your hearts. Let it rule, to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now listen to this. They don't have this translation. This is the Good News translation. Then we'll look at the Weymouth translation. But listen to this. This is the Good News translation. The peace that Christ gives is to guide you in the decisions you make. Let me read this again. The peace, this is the same thing, but I like reading different translations than the King James. It makes it a little more plain. This is what it says. The peace, this is Colossians 3:15. The peace that Christ gives is to guide you in the decisions you make. For it is this peace that God has called you together in one body, and be thankful. What's leading in you and guiding you? Peace. The Spirit of God will give you peace to make the right decisions. That's why when we get, it just doesn't feel right. It's not peace. It's not peaceful. Hold up. Don't keep moving. Now, listen to the Weymouth. If you have that, put that up, because this one's really good. Colossians 3:15 in the Weymouth translation says, and let the peace which Christ gives settle all questionings in your hearts. Whew. Let the peace which Christ gives settle all questionings in your heart. How many of you have had questionings? Should I do this? Shouldn't I do this? I don't know. Maybe I should. You know, it's like Mars the cat. Back, forth. Whoops. Should I? Shouldn't I? Nope. I don't know. But let the peace of Christ settle the questionings, all questionings. Where? In your heart. Hallelujah. Now look at the Passion Translation. I hope this is helping somebody, because this is where we live, making decisions and questionings. And we can hit it 100%. All the time, by peace. We have the Spirit of God, who is the Spirit of peace, and he is shalom, and that shalom will lead us and guide us. Hallelujah. So the Passion Translation, verse 15, it says, let your heart be always what? Guided by the peace of the Anointed One, who called you to peace as part of one of his one body, and always be thankful. So you see what we're sharing here this morning, that you're going to have impulses, you're going to have to be led, you need to be, when you have to make a choice, every time, you know how your brain is just constantly going, sometimes mine's going at 1 or 2 in the morning, and you're going, be quiet. And you're thinking about stuff. Just shut it down. You know, it was an interesting thing. Sometimes, and maybe this will help somebody, but it's interesting. Sometimes for me, I'm just talking about me now. When you wake up first thing in the morning, what's quiet? Usually. This thing right here. Usually it's quiet, because you've shut down, you're at rest, you're rested, and your mind's not active, and usually that's when the Holy Ghost can say, hey, bud, don't go over there today. Don't do this. Or a scripture will come up in your heart, or you'll just have a knowing, I should do this, because you're at peace. Your mind's peaceful. It's rested. And so I know for me, when I wake up, a lot of times there's knowings. He'll speak. He'll share something with me that I need to know because I've been rested. I mean, even if it's 3 hours of sleep, you've rested. You're quiet. Your body's at rest. And usually when we're chasing through the day, zooming and all of this stuff going on and mind active and your body active, it's like, hello. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm here. Pay attention. But that's why I say in our activity, even the busyness, when you have to make decisions, just look on the inside. Lord, what should I do here? Look for peace. Let peace settle all of your decision making. Get active, get good at that, because see, it may not be a life or death choice, but you may face a life or death choice in your life, and then what are you going to do? Are you going to yield to your frustration and, oh my God, I'm just going to make a choice? Could be a good choice, and it could be a bad choice. But I want to make a choice that I'm going to let peace rule in my heart. Even in the crazy busyness, I'm going to let peace rule so that the decision that I make is right. You know, I'll share this. I'll close with this. This happened to me about 23 years ago. And it was a life or death choice that I had to make. I'll just share it that way. I had a bad diet. You know, my diet was crazy. And I was running in the ministry doing stuff. And basically, I'll tell you the way I was drinking coffee and junk all day long. And my stomach burnt out. It was just shot. And I was eating crazy, running crazy, wasn't sleeping right. So anyways, all that aside, go on a vacation with family, and we were up in Vermont and blah, 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 and my stomach was a mess. And I had been believing God for a year that this would get straightened out. And I'm confessing the word, I'm speaking the word, I'm feeding on the word. For a year, my stomach was in turmoil. And I'm still singing with the choir, still leading worship with Pastor Clinton, getting out, and I couldn't sleep. I mean, my stomach was on fire. When I tell you fire, fire. I couldn't sleep. I mean, I might doze off, but the fire was so bad you couldn't sleep. So I come back from vacation, and, you know, still pushing through. And so I'm standing in the shower, getting ready to go to work. I'm just standing under the shower head, and I'm not feeling good. And the Holy Ghost said, if you don't go to the doctor and get your stomach checked, you won't see the end of the year. Just like that. It's in July. And I went, July, August, September, October, November, December. I said, that's 6 months. So I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything for 2 weeks because I've been believing God. I'm trusting God. I'm saying, okay. But then after about 2 weeks, I said, you fool, that was the Holy Ghost, and you knew it. And so I remember it was right around just before 9/11, and I had just gotten to a place where it was just really bad. And I said, I need to take some time off. And I need to just get this straightened out, whatever. And it was right around 9/11. And I remember I was home in bed, and I felt like my body was slipping. I just felt like I'm leaving my body. It wasn't good. And so I went to the emergency room and all of this. And so kind of make a long story shorter, I go there, they check your stomach, they do your vitals, all that stuff. And so their top surgeon looked at me, And they said, oh, you need to go, you know, have your stomach checked, whatever, whatever. And so I go to this specialist, and I'm talking about, now you're going to have to make some choices. These are some real tough choices here that I got to make. And now the doctors are barking. You know what I mean? And you got, and you're listening to all of this stuff, and then, and you got to make some choices. And so this doctor, you know, that comes in the room with the nurse, and all of a sudden it's negative, 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 negative. This doesn't look good. And I'm thinking in my mind, you're an idiot. You haven't even tested me. You haven't pressed my stomach. You haven't done any tests. How are you telling me it doesn't look good? So anyways, he said, take this medicine and come back. I left. I said, I'm not coming back. My spirit was unsettled, and it wasn't the fire, this unsettled. It was in my spirit, and I knew the difference. I said, this isn't right. This doctor, this is not right. You know how you have to make a choice? What doctor am I going to? The news I'm getting from this doctor, is it right? And my spirit was grieved. It was something. I said, something's not right. And it wasn't the fire. I mean, I'm in turmoil. And my spirit, the inner man, not my physical man, my inner man was like, something's not right. I left and never went back. I didn't go back. And yet, I'm needing a solution. And so, and I'm thinking, time's ticking away. I got 6 months. And so anyways, I just was led. I called Pastor Sarah at the time, shared it with her, and she said, did you ever go to this doctor? He happened to be a chiropractor. And I'm thinking in my mind, a chiropractor? I don't need a chiropractor. I need somebody to help my stomach. So I go to this chiropractor, and he's a nutritionist. And I went, huh. And the minute I walked in, you know, you share your little thing, and he goes, this is no joke. He goes, I'll have this turned around in about a week. And I went, so my face must have expressed something. And he looked at me, and he was in his late 70s. He goes, boy? I said, he just called me boy. And I guess I'm thinking, I was a boy. So he says, boy, you know how many of these I've done in my career? I said, no. He said, over 7,000. And I went, so he got my attention. And I'm thinking, wow. But the whole time he's talking, my spirit was peace. There was such peace. I mean, it was like warm peace. And I went, this is it. And it was like night and day. The other doctor, he's yakking and talking, and I was grieved. And I went back. And I went to this guy, and it was like, ooh, peace. And so what did he do? You know, I had been losing weight. I was in turmoil. I wasn't eating right. So he said, well, and this is what I mean, having the right information and the right person. He said, do you know your stomach will heal if you stop putting food in it for 5 days? And I'm thinking, I said, no, I didn't know that. And right away, my little finite mind said, well, that top surgeon that I just saw didn't tell me that. He should have told me that. I left there and he didn't even tell me what I should eat or shouldn't eat. And this guy who was a nutritionist said, okay, I'm going to put you on pureed food for 5 weeks, or I mean for 5 days. And he said, you know, you're going to eat like baby food. And I said, doc, I'm going to lose weight. He said, ah, you'll live. That's what he said. You'll live. You'll get enough nutrients. In 5 days, this is no joke, I've been in pain for a year. 5 days, the fire started in my stomach going, because I had peace about the path that I was taking. It was the right person. 2 weeks, the fire was gone, and I had been in turmoil for a year. And then after a few months, I went back to see him 4 or 5 months later. I said, hey, doc, let me ask you a question. How bad was this? Because my stomach, the best way I could explain it, it was in such turmoil, it was like a knot, and it was hard as this bench. If you hit it, it was like a knot, it was hard. He said to me, if you had waited one more week, they would have opened you up. And right away I went, huh, I would have been dead. Because that was the slide. When he said, 6 months, you're out of here. If I had not gotten the treatment from this guy. So in 2 weeks, my stomach started to soften up. Just softened right up. It was not in turmoil. But the whole point I'm making in all of this was all of this turmoil, all of this noise, all of this stuff was going on. And I was grieved going this path, and this path I had peace. So peace, as the scripture said, settled all of my questionings. It settled it, and I knew it. And them doctors were calling me on the phone. You know, they wanted to do, and you know, they do the, you know, the endoscopy, you know, they put the camera down your stomach and all that. They're going, I said, no, I'm not interested. I did. These were all, you know, gastrointestinal people, all that stuff. I said, see ya, bye, nope, not interested. And he kept pleading me, oh, you know, come anyways, you know, we'll do it. So I finally conceded to go. After about 3 or 4 weeks or 5 weeks, I said, okay, I'll go. And when they stuck that camera down there, they saw zip, nothing, because it had healed. But if you'd taken the wrong path, it wouldn't have been good. So let the peace of God lead you in every decision you make, every choice. You know, I mean, they may not be life or death like this. That was a life or death choice. I had to make the right choice. And he'll lead you in the smallest of things. And I'm excited about it. He's so good to us. We don't have to bump around in life and make dumb choices. You know, or the I don't know. I'm just gonna take this choice and hope for the best. No, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not hoping for nothing. I've got the greater one in me. I like what Mark Hankins says. You got a genius living on the inside of you, and he'll make you smart if you'll yield to him. Yeah. You got God living on the inside. His spirit's living on the inside, and he will bear witness with your spirit with the right choices to make. Yeah. Praise God. I hope that helps somebody. Because to me, this is my quest. Every day, I'm going to do better and better and better. And what I'm doing is I'm forcing myself, before you charge off and make a choice, look on the inside. Do you have peace? Do you have peace? If you don't, maybe it's just hold up for a short period of time. Maybe it's not a no, but it could just be just not right now. Anybody get that? Yeah. I mean, there's the right time for everything, isn't there? You know, people do things. They sell their home. They sell this. They do stuff. They quit their job. They go up, up, up. Maybe it's the right time, but maybe it's not the right time. Do you have peace? Is it the right thing to do? Right? Amen. God is good. Yeah. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your spirit that lives on the inside of us. Thank you that we don't have to miss it in life. Thank you that we can be 100% right all the time, not because we know, but he does. He knows, and he knows. And we just need to yield to the impulses of the Holy Spirit. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Glory to God. Yeah. He's good. He's so good. You know, a lot of times when you think you're so smart and you got the right, even when people say, well, I know, you know, well, what does that mean? Does that mean you know because you've done it 100 times and you know this is the way you should go? You know, I've been getting to this point now where, you know, I stick this little phone in my car and I put my GPS on just because. And then you get off and you go, well, go this way. And you go, well, I've been that way 100 times. That's the right way. And maybe it's not the right way. So sometimes we need to just not be so, just because you know, that means now you're putting God beneath your own understanding. Let him lead. Let him guide. Let peace lead us. Because I'll tell you, the seasons that could be in front of us, what are you going to do if now all of a sudden, you know, what happens if this society gets to the place where now you have to start making some decisions where your life is on the line? What are you going to do then? Oh, now I tell you what'll happen. Everybody will be on their knees. Oh, God, please help me. Well, you should have been doing that all along. Doesn't mean he won't help you, but now you're trying to play catch up. Now you're trying to go, oh, is it him? Is it not him? Is it him? You should be doing that with every choice you make right now. So the littlest of things, you know, that was him. So now when some real tough decisions have to be made, he'll lead you and you go, yeah, I know what to do. I got it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I got it. And this is right now, life is class. You know what I mean? We're in class all the time. Every decision we make, we're in class. So look to him. Look to him to lead you in everything. Even in the simplest of things. Yeah. And a lot of times, so I saw him kidding before. He's like, well, I'm going to eat this. Well, ask him, should you even be doing it? Or if you get nudges, you know, like me, I look back on, you know, how I messed my stomach up with coffee. And I reflect back now. I'm talking about 2 or 3 years prior to that. I ignored the little nudges. Don't drink coffee. And I went, yeah, but I like coffee. And I kept going down until it got to a brick wall. See, I ignored it. I'm not doing that. Nope. A lot of times people are leaving this earth too early because they're ignoring promptings from the Holy Ghost to change their diet, change their exercise, and they're not doing it, and then they get into a pickle, and then they're like, oh, God, help me. And he said, well, I've been trying to help you for the last 20 years, and you've been ignoring me. Right? That's all I'm saying. It can be that. It can be anything, whatever it is. You know, be yielded to him. Amen. Praise God. Well, I don't have anything else. I could talk about this for a lot because it's where I live and it means something to me because the choices that we make, everything, you know, I mean, personal, ministry, everything. Pastor Greg and I do it. This is how we live. You have to make choices in the ministry. You got people knocking on the door going, we should do this, we should do this. And we go, yeah, okay, that's nice. Let me think about it. Let me pray about that. Well, I think we should be doing that. I think we should do that. We should do that. Bah, we should do that. You know, they're passionate about it. I get it. But is it right? Is it the right time? Is it the right thing? Should we be doing that? A lot of times people will come in, is that what God called? See, here's the thing. Think about it this way. Ministry, like your own personal life, somebody might say to you, I think you should be doing that. And you go, but I'm not called to do that. No, I don't agree with you. You just know on the inside, that's not my path. But somebody else on the outside says, I think you should be doing that. Well, that's no different in church. People are passionate. I'm not downplaying that. And they'll say, I think you should be doing that. And you go, well, maybe God hasn't called us to do that. Because every church isn't called to do the same thing. So you just have to, all I'm saying is you have to spend time with him to know what you personally should be doing and how to live your life. That's why, you know, to tell people what they should eat and not eat is silly because I don't know you. I don't know what you need and don't need. But guess who does? The helper, the comforter. He lives inside you, and he's trying to help you live a long life. Not cut it short by making bad choices, right? So when he nudges us to make changes, yield. Because he knows something you don't know about you, right? That's the whole point today. Yeah. Well, praise God. Amen. We're getting better at this. We're getting better. You know, you didn't get to be an adult overnight, naturally, and you don't get to be mature spiritually overnight either. Take some effort and some work, and you gotta listen to them and yield. Amen. Praise God. Glory to God.